This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on a Friday. Ben Standing in just a moment of The Athletic. Get his thoughts on OTAs for the Commanders. Max, alert the presses.
Uh-oh.
For the first time in like 6 months, Taylor Swift just tweeted.
Oh.
She has a new letter on her site. I only clicked this just because I was curious as to be what it was.
Sure.
The letter is handwritten.
Okay.
But the font is very small. I'm actually very upset about this. I was going to read the whole letter during the break, but I got my four eyes over here with the glasses. It's tough to read small print. Why couldn't she just type this thing out? Very upset about Taylor Swift. She got her master's back. It's not that important to me. It's important to you if you're a Swiftie. If you have kids and your daughter's a Swiftie, it's important to them. I was just very upset that it was a handwritten letter that was then taken a picture of. Scan it. I mean, it's 2025. Lord have mercy.
Scanners are very easy
to purchase. Just make the font bigger. Cheap. Some of us can't read.
That's
all right. Ben Standing is with us here, the Athletics podcast, Last Man Standing. Ben, appreciate it, my friend. Walk us through the latest from OTAs over the past couple of days for those that haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, we were out there on Wednesday. We're only get to be out there kind of like one day of the week that they have an OTA, and you know, it's essentially a walkthrough ish. I mean, like this is, you know, I don't want to say it's like the first day of school, but in terms of like being out on the field with each other, yeah, that's kind of what it is. Unfortunately, it rained on Wednesday, so they practice in the bubble, and you know they can do most of what they can do, but like it's, you know, it's a little more confined space, and you know, practicing indoors at the turf and air is not as fun as on the grass. But you know, look, I mean, you get to see, you know, Jaden Daniels, of course, back in action, and you know, for the most part, he looked as expected, and we had a chance to talk to him after practice, and you know, despite an off season where even for a guy that had just won the Heisman, the attention that he got, you know, went up, you know, umpteen levels. But he still seemed like the same guy we saw last year. Same, you know, pretty chill, no high, no low, and you know that was equated or that was confirmed by talking to Dan Quinn and some of the players as well. And then you know, you get you know, Trey Amos was out there. I thought he had a pretty good practice for the team. You know, no Terry McLaurin, no Laremy Tunsil, no Marshawn Lattimore. It is voluntary, but you know, I think those are some of the things that kind of stood out on the first day.
How did the rookies look amongst the veterans?
You know, I mean, again, it's much more like an individual drill situation than it is like, you know, there was some 7-on-7, so it's hard to see like how adept they are at, say, the playbook and things along those lines. But, you know, I mean, and unfortunately, because of the way that it was set up, they had us penned in, like, all the way at one end of the practice facility, one end of the bubble, and the offensive linemen were at the complete opposite end. So I honestly couldn't see much of anything of what Josh Connerly or anybody was doing. But, you know, you could see Jalen Lane was out there returning punts. He seemed to be, again, this doesn't mean that much quite yet, but he seemed to be literally the first in line, you know, for it. And that's, you know, at least some indication that, hey, we, you know, want to get this person as many reps as possible out there. And of course, you know, guy who works, your colleague over there, Brian Mitchell, you may have heard of him as a noted punt returner. He was out there with the players. You know, Dan Quinn asked him to, you know, hey, could you hang out with us and on the field and, you know, give some thoughts to the guys. And obviously that makes, you know, incredible common sense. So he looked good. And again, I thought Trey Amos, you know, again, it is 7-on-7. It's not the same thing as a real deal. But, you know, I thought he looked the part. I thought he had a pretty good day, you know, and just to the point of, like, did he look like he belonged? I mean, for what it's worth, I would say yes. I think for me in general, it's, and we didn't talk to Trey Amos, but like when we're looking at the guys, we're getting to talk to the guys, does it look like they belong? I think it's a fair question. I mean, I always go back to when Josh Dotson was a first round pick, and I liked the pick, you know, just based on watching him play. But the, I remember like the first time we all got to talk to him, I was like, oh boy, this guy does not seem, he seems a little scared of the moment or big eyes. Like, he, I don't know, something feels off here. And then obviously, you know, things kind of played out the way they did. So, you know, as long as he passed that test for me, things go generally well. We didn't, like I said, we didn't talk to any of the rookies after practice, but, you know, from what I could tell, you know, they generally seem to look the part.
Yeah, that Josh Doxson prediction turned a little too prophetic. As far as I'm concerned, I'm sure as far as you're concerned as well. Any indication on, not that I think that B. Mitch is going to be a coach all of a sudden. I mean, the man already has a ton of jobs. But was that a one-time thing, or is he going to be in that position maybe a little bit more frequently prior to actual training camp starting?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're going to see him out there again during one of these practices. Maybe. I mean, you know, it's possible. But in terms of I don't think he's going to be on the coaching staff. I mean, that, like you said, I mean, he's pretty – he's got a lot of other jobs. And, you know, that they have not only special teams coach – you know, Larry Izzo, they hired the guy who used to be the Seahawks special teams coach to be Izzo's assistant in Brian Schneider. So, you know, obviously I'm not saying those guys are necessarily equal to Brian Mitchell when it comes to returning, but, you know, it's not like they don't have options. But look, Pete Mitch is around. You know, he's out at the facility, you know, most days when we're all out there during the week, because B. Mitch and JP will do their show from out there, and he does stuff for the team. So, you know, anytime they, you know, they want him to pop in, I imagine it's, hey, can you walk outside and go give some thoughts? But yeah, I don't think it's going to be any kind of permanent deal. But, you know, he may be out there for later in OTAs, or maybe even at training camp or something like that.
Ben Standing with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show, covers the team for The Athletic. His podcast, Last Man Standing, available wherever it is that you get your podcast. He joins us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dende sitting in. I've seen some of the videos from OTAs. Obviously, there are only certain windows where you guys can get the cameras out and record. Was there anything of real substance that was taking place on the first day?
You know, I hate to burst like bubbles out there, but not really. I mean, you know, I thought like the passing game, like, I didn't track every passer. There were some drills where they have all four quarterbacks throwing balls simultaneously to runners running different types of routes. It felt like things were a little bit off there, not completely in sync. But again, this is, you know, part of the deal. And Jane Daniels talked about this, like, you know, this is the first opportunity to really get to see in person what these guys do, where their strengths and weaknesses are, what they like, what he sees. So it is a, you know, get to know you situation. And obviously a receiver in particular, you know, you got Debo Samuel, you got Jalen Lane, you got Michael Gallup. You know, they've got new guys coming in, you know, along with some of the holdovers. So, you know, it is just sort of that learning each other type deal. But beyond that, not really. I mean, you know, obviously the guys who weren't there is of note, but it's voluntary. So, you know, I'm not gonna, even with Terry McLaurin's, you know, contract discussion, I'm not going to panic or even, you know, worry about any of that until we get much deeper into this offseason. So, you know, not really. I mean, like I said, I just think that, you know, I guess there was a lot of talk about Jaden Daniels and whether he had put on some weight, and that's a relative term. Like, you wouldn't look at him and go, wow, this guy bulked up. But for him, based on the, you know, his frame from last year, you know, you could see a little bit, I think, of a little bit more, you know, bulk, I guess, if you want to call it that. I don't know. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury, he hasn't been weighed yet, I guess, officially. That probably won't come until training camp. But, you know, Kingsbury said if he's got him on the scale now, he's probably a little bit heavier. And the player said that, hey, he's in the weight room all the time. But, you know, the fact that was like a big topic was kind of says it all in terms of what was really happening out there. you know, there wasn't a ton. But, you know, like I said, it's about getting to know each other, getting to know the staff, getting into a rhythm. You know, and kind of understanding just, you know, what it is that they're, you know, trying to accomplish. And, you know, day one officially on the field for that.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the Jaden Daniel bulking conversation, Ben, because it's not going to go anywhere. I think we're going to get to a point, we're already kind of there, where people are just going to be examining pictures of him too much. It's like already starting to creep me out a little bit. I think it's only going to get worse as we get deeper and deeper into the offseason.
I have a feeling the conversation might be dead already. Like, you know, we asked a bunch of questions. I guess whenever they do put out the official, like, we received a roster, as we do at practices, to, you know, just to, hey, here's all the numbers for the guys. And his weight was the same as it was last year, so pretty sure it was just, you know, copy-paste situation. So whenever we get to training camp and they have, you know, more official numbers, then we'll see. Is he listed at 215? Is he listed at 210, you know, which is his current weight? You know, that may, you know, spark something. But, you know, I mean, I think ultimately at the end of the day, nobody is looking for Jaden Daniels to become Cam Newton. It's just a matter of, hey, you know, like with that, you know, like with anything, can you get a little bit stronger? And in his case, you know, the worst part of the season last year for the team was after he got the rib injury. Mm-hmm. You know, they ended up winning that game without him. The next week was the Hail Mary. So they almost lost it, you know, if we look at it from that perspective. And then they did lose, you know, three in a row after that. So, and it felt like things were a little bit off for him. Not that it was bad, but just, you know, it felt a little different. And then after that stretch, you know, he kicked it up again, and they closed out the season very strong and won two games in the playoffs. So I just think from that perspective, he's going to take hits, whether it's pass rushers. You know, he's obviously going to run into traffic, you know, out there. And, you know, he was good for the most part in terms of getting down, but, you know, he's a competitive guy. So anything he can do to give himself a little extra cushion, a little more strength, would go a long way. But, yes, I don't think we're really going to get too much out of this beyond, like I said, unless the weight that they officially list him at is something you're like, whoa, what's going on here?
Ben Standing with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on a Friday. You mentioned Michael Gallup being there. He is a guy that I find interesting, Ben, just because I don't really know what his role is going to be. I think that Terry and Debo and Noah Brown are going to be your top three receivers. I don't know who wide receiver four is going to be. Do you think that could be a role for Michael Gallup? If not, what are realistic expectations for him?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, yeah, I'm intrigued by this one as well. I always liked him when he was at Dallas. Unfortunately, I mean, in terms of the player, I wasn't rooting for the Cowboys. That's but like he, but you know, injuries, unfortunately, you know, got the best of him and kind of slowed him down. He didn't play last year, but he came back this year and you know, obviously ready to go. And he, you know, Dan Quinn knows him from their time together in Dallas. I think you actually just made the interesting point, and that is, if he becomes the fourth receiver, then I think, okay, then obviously he's on the team.
Right.
But if it's not, if Jalen Lane is able to, I think Jalen Lane's best work this year may come as a punt returner, which is fine for the first year. But like if he's able to become part of the rotation, right, then, and say if Luke McCaffrey, you know, there were points last year where it felt like Luke McCaffrey was on the verge of something and then it just never quite happened. If those guys are more likely to be in the rotation than Gallup, I think the Gallup's roster spot becomes in peril because he doesn't play special teams. And neither does, you know, Terry McLaurin. Noah Brown doesn't. Debo did some last year, but, like, you know, I don't know how much – we'll see how much Washington wants to use him out there in any kind of capacity for that. And, you know, it'd be kind of hard to have four of your six receivers not play special teams in terms of just the overall roster. And then, like, you know, you look at, are they keeping a fourth running back with Ja'Cory, Kroski, Merritt possibly joining the three guys that were there last year? Are you keeping that fourth tight end? I mean, Colson Yankoff was a pretty good special teams player last year. Or are you keeping the third quarterback like they did a year ago? You know, and then they're not even getting into, like, the defense and all those kind of conversations there. So I think to me that's the case. If they think that Gallup is their legit fourth, then yeah, then he gives them another guy with some, you know, decent size, physical receiver, and you know, hopefully he's healthy enough to make some plays. He had a pass ricochet off his hands from Jaden in practice that got picked off, and then on another play going up against Trey Amos, they kind of bumped, he fell to the ground, and the ball landed with Amos. But you know, that aside, I think that's the key. If he's the sixth receiver, I don't know that he's on the team as a sixth receiver. He's got to, I think, crack that top four, because, like I said, otherwise, you know, well, you can't really have your sixth receiver not play special teams, I would say. So, yeah, I think that's the thing to keep an eye on as much as anything.
Did we ever get a reason, whether it be whispers or murmurs, as to why Luke McCaffrey never really caught on? Because you're right, it felt like, especially in the early point in the season, that there was something there. He was open a lot, just wasn't thrown to, and then eventually you thought he'd be thrown to, and then it kind of thought, like, in my mind of the schedule, right? Like, all right, he's not getting thrown to, but he will get thrown to it, like, the back half of the year. Well, the back half of the year, he stopped playing as frequently. Did we ever get a reason for that?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple things, right? I mean, you know, Olamide Zaccheaus, you know, played pretty well last year, and he was coming out of the slot, which is where they kind of had McCaffrey kind of looked at for a bit. De'Ami Brown, certainly his best stretch was the very end of the year, but you know, he did provide some of that deep speed down the field as well, and they wanted that on the field. And then, you know, Noah Brown, until he got hurt, you know, was having a pretty productive year. So at some point you just kind of lose opportunities. And you know, look, I think the thing with McCaffrey and why for me I'm not remotely panicking about anything is, like, look, it was only his third year at the position. He had switched, of course, in college from quarterback to receiver for the last 2 years. So, you know, there is a little bit of a learning curve for sure. And, you know, I think the fact that he showed some good work as a kick returner, to me, says something, because it shows, you know, with the ball in his hand that there's something to like. I know that's not the same thing as catching passes, but as an athletic presence, like, you could see why he's an interesting player. And you know, look, I think the thing with this year is, you know, if Debo's healthy and, you know, is gives them what they want, then he's obviously going to play a ton. If Noah Brown can stay healthy, a big if for him, then he's going to be that size guy opposite McLaurin for the most part. And then we've met, you know, so, like, there just may not be a ton of reps anyway, but you know, I'm still optimistic that McCaffrey's a guy, and just, you know, you just got to hope, you know, another year in the system, you know, he feels a little bit more comfortable off his position. And again, his dad was a longtime NFL receiver. We obviously know his brother, you know, is one of the better players in the NFL. So it's not like he doesn't know the league or doesn't know the game or anything along those lines. It's just a new position. So hopefully another year learning it, you know, helps him possibly make a bigger jump this year.
Was there any pushback to no Laremy Tunsil or Marshon Lattimore from the coaching staff?
No. I mean, you know, Quinn, there's only really so much he can say, right? It is voluntary. You know, it's funny, like, because even going back before this group with Jay Gruden and the Ron Rivera era, like, we've always had this notion here of, like, guys show up for OTAs, and they typically have. When somebody hasn't, it's been like, you know, ooh, what's going on here? In a lot of other teams, that's the norm. Like, I think in Tampa, I was one of the reporters there who I follow on social media was like, he was counting like in the 70s there, you know, 90 is the number. I know the Ravens have historically, a lot of their vets don't show. So I don't think it's a big deal. It's just, you know, and Dan Quinn didn't seem to suggest that it was. He, you know, said he's talked with everybody, you know, it's his job to sort of stay in touch with everybody and make sure everybody's on the same page and doing what they need to do and all that. I think what is interesting to me, though, is, you know, for all this talk of the improved culture, which is, you know, seemed pretty legitimate from what I could tell last year and the results, I think, said that as well. But the new culture gets tested year over year, right? I mean, last year everybody was buying in because everybody was like, this is a new deal, all that. Well, now you have, you know, Laremy Tunsil was traded here, right? Marshon Lattimore was traded here. I'm not saying they're going to be negative for the culture at all, but, like, you know, the reports out of Houston were Houston decided that they needed to break up the offensive line room because the chemistry just kind of wasn't working. And with Marshon Lattimore, you know, there was some notion of, like, maybe his act was getting a little tired in New Orleans along with the injuries. So, you know, how do these guys, and not just them, but just anybody who's coming in new, how do the new people integrate with what you're already doing. It's what the ability to keep that going year over year over year is why I think teams like the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, Ray Lewis has been gone a long time, but it feels like it's still the same type of environment that was built during that era. You know, the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA, kind of, you know, not as much now, but like in the whole era, part of the Tim Duncan era, it was the same thing. There was a standard there. You knew what it was and you had to meet it. And, you know, if Washington can keep that up, that's huge going forward. And I think they will, but, you know, that's the interesting part when you have guys like Tuntle and Lattimore who may be kind of doing their own thing, in this case, not showing up at least for the first week of OTAs on the field. So we'll see what happens going forward, but not a big deal for now.
A couple more for Ben Standick here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dende sitting in for Kevin. Just to clarify, Ben, I just want to make sure I am aware and that the NFL hasn't changed policies. But guys can't work out at the facility after OTAs are done, right? Like, if they stay in the area, are they allowed to go lift on the facility? Do they need, like, a lifetime gym membership?
Oh, I think they could just stay around. I think that's – I mean, it's really just a matter of, like, you know, the coaches – like, if there does become a point where, like, the coaches, like, can't, like, deal with them, really.
Right.
So, like, they can go into the weight room and do whatever they do or go work out in the field with each other, if they're, you know, that type of deal. But, like, yeah, there does become a point where you can't, like, the communication gets, you know.
Limited or axed.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, some guys obviously prefer to go home for whatever, wherever they want to train and do that. Other guys, it's just, hey, let me just stay here in town, you know, just get my life, you know, my schedule kind of going here and do that. So, yeah, I mean, I think some guys will stick around. It just depends on, you know, who they are and you know, where they live. And, you know, guys with kids might be different than guys who are just coming into the league, things like that.
Do the Pacers close out the Knicks on Saturday, or do we get a game seven?
I think yes. I mean, obviously the Knicks looked, you know, were in control of this last game from the start. But, you know, I mean, look, this is an interesting series because it hasn't really been, like, one-sided. Even though it was a 3-1 lead, I mean, the Knicks, you know, blew that massive game and that massive lead in game one. And both of these teams have a tremendous amount of, like, resolve and fight in them. So, you know, I think the Knicks are not going to, you know, shy away, but I think the Pacers get it done. This wasn't the best Halliburton game, kind of a little more passive than probably needed to be. So, you know, I imagine he comes out stronger before the home crowd and they find a way to get it done.
Yeah, something tells me he'll be a lot better in game number six. He is Ben Standick. Ben, appreciate the insight. And if we get a game seven, we'll be talking about it on Monday. If not, enjoy game six.
I'll say, hey, look, at least with the Knicks winning, we have another game. If the Knicks have lost, we have no NBA for a while. So at least we got another game out of it.
Yeah, if not, you and I would be locked into, like, college softball this weekend, which I will watch, but I wanted basketball. Desperately.
I'd be binge watching some TV show on Netflix. That's what I'd
be doing. Ben, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man, too.
That's Ben Standig. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben Standig. He is our Washington Commanders insider. Subscribe to his podcast if you are not already, at Last Man Standing. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, what are you doing? Subscribe to the Team 980's YouTube channel. Kevin is live every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Craig Hoffman live on the channel 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you get the little Denton's office in there on the video section as well. So go subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can follow me on Twitter at The Denton Day. Coming up next, a couple of superlatives plus back into the list of Washington's roster ranking outside of the top 10 according to most. We dive back into it when we get back. It's Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.